entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Aren't you ever?
It is freezing outside.
Freezing.
Can you believe this?
Yeah, what is
freezing.
It, 99 today?
I tell you, it's just like polar.
Yesterday was horrific, actually.
Yesterday was not only horrific, but yesterday was the day that they ripped out the spa at my condo and they put the fountain in, and I had to oversee it because I'm president of the homeowners association,
right.
And it was working on the surface of the sun.
Sure.
It was.
Did you lose some weight?
What?
I did.
I'd say
about 6 pounds.
I lost a lot in water weight.
Did you really?
I know, because my wedding ring is swimming on me now. Normally it's a little snug. You see these different things.
I don't mind the heat, but when it's oppressive like that and just kind of still.
And we have something that we don't normally have here, which is the humidity, which is
beg your pardon.
We don't normally have humidity.
What is that?
The humidity? You never heard that?
No.
Yes. But we do. It's sticky. It's like walking around in a wet sleeping bag.
Yeah. Don't like
unpleasant.
That at all.
Let's stop
and
talking.
Sleeping
about
in that weather is even more challenging.
Exactly. Exactly.
We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, ladies and gentlemen, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the internet's most prominent listening sources for the live arts in Southern California. We are grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar. And rather than give applause, we're going to introduce one of our celebrity guests that
we have today.
We are welcoming Bea Arthur today.
Oh, God bless her.
Yes.
So, she's come back.
Hello.
Hi, Bea. It's great to have you. I understand you haven't been feeling too well, so we appreciate having you here.
I am sick.
Yes, I know. You said that to me earlier.
I really am sick.
No, I understand, but thank you so much for joining us.
I was always healthy. And
anyway,
came down with this flu. I can't get rid of it. I've been sick for 5 months now.
Wow, that's a long soundbite, isn't it? I have no idea how long these things
are. Well, I imagine when Bea wants to talk, she talks.
She does. She does. Let's introduce the guests that we've got
a heck of a show today, Paul. You know that. We have not only two, but three guests in studio with us today. Each
is that a first for us?
Yes, actually.
Three in studio guests?
On a rotating basis.
Normally we have a call in sometimes and then two.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But, so three guests, and each connected to a brand new, first ever one-girl musical, which will have its world premiere this Saturday, September 12th, at the charming Grove Theater Center, nestled in the heart of the George Isaie Park in Burbank, California.
The connection Michael's referring to is titled Welcome to My World, written by one of today's guests, whose wealth of credits is in his very long and successful career in music, theater, film, and television are more than impressive, to say the least. Welcome back to State of the Arts, the one, the only, Bruce Kimmel.
Well, hello.
Hi, Bruce. Oh, thanks for joining us today. They're a swell of applause.
Thank you so much.
They were all saying, what? That Bruce Kimmel?
Yes. So nice.
Spike them up a little bit there.
There you go.
And I like the way they all know to stop at exactly the same time.
Yeah, Bruce, they've done this before.
You've got them trained well.
I do, don't I? And I'm phoning this in.
And speaking of worlds, also with us today, Paul, is a young man who's part of a different world called Girl Meets World, now in its second blockbuster season on the Disney Channel. However, his connection to Welcome to My World is a special one indeed. We're going to find out about that in a minute. Known to millions of TV viewers as Farkle Minkus, say hello to Corey Fogelmanis.
Corey.
Hey, Corey.
Hi.
Hey.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate you coming in on such an oppressively hot day coming out here, especially since you're on hiatus, so you're actually not working, and we're making you work, so we appreciate it.
Awesome. But it's kind of fun work, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And Paul, you want to tell them about our third guest there?
Sure. Our third guest, the star of Bruce Kimmel's new musical, Sammy Stateman, is en route to the studio now. Is it en route or en route?
Either way.
I never know, because I always think I sound pretentious if I say en route. But
that again, is
I'm,
a little pretentious.
I'm pretend root to begin with. She's on her way here. Let's say that. She's on her way to the studio. She'll be with us shortly. But before we speak with Bruce and Corey and Sammy, Michael,
yeah.
How was your week?
It was great, actually. Speaking of Bruce, again, we shared an anniversary of his Critcherland entertainment shows that he brings into Sterling's upstairs at the Federal.
Yes.
And it was an
That's like a monthly gig, right?
Well, it is. But this was marking the fifth anniversary.
Wow.
Yeah, and the fourth edition of a particular title called The Songs That Got Away.
Okay.
So we had an amazing cast that Mr. Kimmel put together.
We did.
What Jason was it? Graw.
Jason Graw.
Darcy
Sharon
Roberts.
McKnight,
Sharon
Darcy,
McKnight.
Sammy.
Sammy Stateman.
Our kids, Brenly.
Yes.
And Brenly Brown, Hadley Miller, Robert Iacco.
Yeah, it was star-studded.
What does the title refer to? Just ones that were in a musical originally and didn't make the cut?
No, songs we have never been able to shoehorn in our 5 years.
Okay. Songs that got away. Songs that fell behind the stove while cooking.
Kind of, sort of.
Yes.
And it was just jam-packed, and as it always is on that anniversary show, and, of course, every month, but this one's been quite special. So that was the highlight.
Now, 5 years with your Critcherland connection, doing the Critcherland shows, but that's not 5 years at the Federal. That includes old days at the
Gardenia.
Vitello's.
Well, Vitello's and then Gardenia.
Oh, okay.
Preceded Vitello's.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
I was doing that. They started there. And other than that, which was such a fun affair, just getting ready to, of course, open this show, Welcome to My World, which I'm excited to. I had the pleasure of sitting through the run-through the other night, doing the photo session with Michael Lamont, who is married to our lovely friend Kay Cole, and it is quite charming, to say the least. Music and dialogue, and Sammy does a great job in it. And also getting ready to open The Addams Family.
Oh, right.
The 3D theatricals
3D.
With starring Bronson Pinchot.
Yes.
From Perfect Strangers, if you remember that series.
And our Candy Milo friend of ours.
Candy Milo
yeah.
As the grandmother, and Rachel York as Morticia Addams, Rachel being one of the great stars of Broadway. So.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
They do great stuff down there.
Busy time for me.
It's always worth the trip down there.
Absolutely.
Let's enjoy it. You see what I'm doing? I'm doing exactly what I said I shouldn't. Don't hit the table, and I'm just dropping pens.
Yeah.
I should pay attention to myself.
Let's get into our interview with Mr. Kimmel here.
Let's do that. Why don't you introduce him, Michael?
I shall. Our first guest, ladies and gentlemen, is not only a Grammy nominee, but a producer, director, writer, and composer. As if that's not enough.
Donut enthusiast.
Yes, and a donut enthusiast.
Yes.
And as if that's not enough in the talent pool, he also enjoyed a career as an actor on such iconic TV shows as The Partridge Family, Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley, MASH, and so many others. In music, he has produced over 180 albums and released over 400 classic cast albums and soundtracks, including his acclaimed remix of the original cast albums of Follies, Promises, Promises, and Sugar. However, he's here today to talk about his newest endeavor, Welcome to My World. Give it up for Bruce Kimmel.
Kimmel,
thank you so much.
No, sit down, really. Sit down.
they are.
Bruce, how are you?
I'm so good. How are
Bruce,
you?
Bruce, you're the hardest working man in show business. You got 19 irons in the fire at any given time. And I'm just curious where you find, I mean, you obviously come in contact with a lot of talented young people, a lot of talented people in general in doing your shows there. But what was it about this particular young lady that said, okay, there's a one-person show in there?
Well, I've been working with her since she was 12, and she's really grown and become quite wonderful. And I had actually started this show, sort of the genesis of the show, before I met her.
Okay.
Because a young 12-year-old or 13-year-old gal that I was working with, her mother called and said, do you have a monologue? Can you find us a comic monologue for our daughter? She has to do a comic monologue for an audition. And
Did her mother actually say it like that?
Yes, exactly. That's why we don't speak anymore. And so I couldn't find
her mother is Helen Mirren, ladies and gentlemen.
Exactly. I couldn't find a comic monologue anywhere. I mean, I looked and looked and looked, and there was nothing for a 13-year-old girl. So I wrote one, and sent it to them and didn't tell them I wrote it. And they loved it. And they called me and they said, we have to do this play. What play is this from? I said, well, it's not from a play. It's from me. And she did it, and she got whatever job that was. And she did that monologue quite often. And then I thought of making it a one-person show, a girl show. With just monologues. I was going to call it the Molly Monologues because it was a character named Molly. And then I stopped working with that girl. It was a wonderfully talented girl, but her parents kind of went to loony land. And so I kind of put it away for a while, and it was always in the back of my head that it would be fun to do it, and there had never really been anything like a one-girl show. So last year, Sammy was doing something at the Federal, and I watched her in the, as she performed, and I said, you know, maybe this could work. So we went to lunch, her mom and she and I, and I said, you know, I've had this thing, and I'm going to show you this monologue, and there can be others. But it's a huge commitment, and if you want to go to high school and you want to be popular, go do that. If you want to do this, it's a real commitment. And she wanted it. So I began writing it, and it was always going to have one song to open the show, which was I had written part of, called Welcome to My World. So we went to lunch every week for about 3 months, and I would just ask her questions about her life and thing. And I have always written young people. 11 of my 15 books have young protagonists, I mean, preteen and teen protagonists. So I have an affinity, I think, for it, because I don't think I've ever grown up. And
no, not you.
So... somebody said to me last night, is there a 14-year-old girl living inside of you? And I think that's accurate, in a good way. So I began writing these monologues, and some of them were based on her. Some of them were things out of my own head. Or she would just say something, and it would make me laugh, so I would just incorporate that into a monologue. But as I would get to the end of these monologues, I would... say, oh, you know, a good song would go here. I'd go write a song. So it morphed into a musical because there's now 14 songs.
14 songs, right.
14 monologues. And it's tough. This thing would tax, you know, anyone.
Sure.
Any sort of veteran.
And it's 85 minutes.
It's 85 minutes, no intermission. And she... you know, the job is to hold the stage and to communicate with the – I said to her at one point, I said, you know, what's hard about this is you have nobody to play off of. Your co-star is the audience.
Right. Now, and there are endearing moments, though, with the musical director, Albie Potts.
Yes. I built Albie into the show
because
I knew she needed to, like, take a drink of water or do something. So – and we none of that was in the workshop, by the way. I gave him one thing to do in the workshop, and it got such a huge laugh – that I just, in rehearsals, I just kept adding stuff. And now he's quite present.
Well, he does it very dry and perfect, actually, how you've directed him. I understand, and I won't say who said this to me, but it actually was the person who make an appearance in the show on this coming weekend. Is that possible?
I don't think so.
A friend of yours? A friend of yours?
Oh, yes, he does. Yes, I can't give it away.
But yeah, yes, I didn't want to give it away either, but that's a very special...
he's Jewish.
Very Jewish celebrity.
That may help
okay,
you
guess. Oh, narrow it down for us.
That'll be fun.
He performs in every performance.
Oh,
in his
really?
Way. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, he has his little moment.
So just on opening night or the whole run?
He's there. He doesn't actually come on the stage.
Oh, I see. Okay. I'm getting it now. All right. So that's sweet.
But I will warn that there is one person in the audience in every show who will be on stage. I'm warning you now, if you sit close... chances are.
And I saw that the other night when I was there, which was very charming, actually.
Okay, I'm a little thrown by something here.
What is
I'm
that?
Reading this, a brand new one-girl musical, but it's not a one-girl musical.
Yeah, it is.
It's just one person.
Yeah.
One person.
Yep.
Sammy Stephen.
She's wearing all the hats. She's everything.
She is wearing one hat, her hat, which is the character of Molly.
Okay. So for some reason, no, then I was confused. I thought for some reason she was sort of like the hub of the wheel, but that there were other sort of people coming
she
in.
She is
and
the
out.
Only cast member.
She's
and
the only
a pianist on stage.
Oh,
with her.
Wow. Wow.
So it's a real, impressive. It's a character. It's not the Sammy Saban show. It's
right,
this
right.
character named Molly. And
right. But you did incorporate some of her life experience and flavoring.
She said, she'll tell you, but, you know, it's some of it's like her, some of it's totally not like her, you know.
Right.
But she has come to embrace this girl, and I like to think this girl is a role model. You know, I don't necessarily love all young people today. This gentleman is a nice person next to me. I know that, but some young people. Well, we talk about them in the show. You have to come see it.
It's as simple as that.
Corey was there. Weren't you there for the workshop?
Yeah, I came to the workshop.
So you know how we talk about certain types of people.
Yeah, it was great.
We should tell other people about this too. How to come see it. This is. At the Grove Theater Center in George Isaiah Park, which, because I did a show there, I know to tell people, walk in, look for the plane. Just look for the airplane, because you got to walk past the airplane, and it's behind the softball fields.
It's literally the eastmost of the baseball diamonds.
Right. But a cuter little 99-seater you won't find. It's just a beautiful little stone freestanding theater. It's a great space.
It's actually been refurbished, I think, in more recent years. So it's actually much nicer than it used to.
Oh, really? They've
overhauled
it.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, it was nice before, so it can only be better.
Yeah.
This is at the Grove Theater Center. It's a limited engagement. Begins 9, 10, 15. It's Friday, Saturday at 8 and Sunday at 2. And for tickets, you can call 323-960-7787. That's 323-960-7787. Or go to plays411.com/world. And, of course, the Grove Theater Center is 1111B West Olive Avenue in Burbank. There's ample free parking out there in the street. But we will obviously throw this information out a number of times before the end of the hour.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And it is running there, of course, through the 27th of the month.
I guess I can announce that we're actually going a week longer. Than
oh, you are?
We have just extended.
Oh, wow.
Well, we're very happy.
Glad that you told me.
Yes.
Thank you for that.
You are the first to know,
except
for Sam.
All right. That's very – well, that's impressive to extend before you open. That's very, very good.
Yeah. It's all good.
Opening tomorrow.
Nope.
Previews
start
this
tonight.
Evening.
Oh, begins 9:10, which is today.
Right.
Right. Okay. I should know this because my brother's birthday was yesterday, so I should know these dates.
Really?
Yes.
And
he's coming, actually. He's flying in for it.
Is he? Ah, sweet. Preview tomorrow night, and then we open on Saturday.
Wonderful.
The 12th.
Wonderful.
And then my birthday is on the 13th.
Yes, I know.
And I'll be working at the show.
I've hired the crop duster and dropping the leaflets and everything, yes.
In honor of your birthday. Are they dropping just dust or crops or what?
No, just leaflets.
Oh,
leaflets.
Okay.
You know, the pictures you gave me.
We'll have a chocolate peanut butter donut for your birthday on Sunday.
Yes. Can never go wrong with that.
Well, you know, we could sit here for hours with Bruce and talk about his very, very varied career. But thank you, Bruce, for all the years you spent, you know, putting things on CD and making them last for all time. And this show is no exception, and it's worthy of that, certainly, in my opinion, at least.
And
I think Sammy does an amazing job, and I know that we have a special treat coming from Corey with regard to this show, too, which we're going to talk about with him in just a moment. But thank you for everything that you do. Few people do what you do, and probably most of them don't do it as well.
Well, thank you, Michael Sterling.
You are welcome, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart.
Very kind of you.
Yeah, sure.
Shall I introduce the
Please
next guest?
Do.
This gentleman to my right
Absolutely.
Has been so patient here. Our next guest, all of 16 years old, delights viewers of the Disney Channel's mega hit Girl Meets World with his intelligent yet sensitive portrayal of Farkle Minkus. He is not only a fan favorite, but has reached undeniable teen stardom. Prior to Girl Meets World, he made his film debut during 2011 in The Maiden and the Princess and later appeared on the television series Partners. In addition to acting, he's interested in photography, gymnastics, and singing in hopes one day to make his debut on Broadway. In the interim, he's supporting his longtime friend Sammy Stateman and her debut in Welcome to My World. He'll also be featured on a bonus track for the new musical's cast album to be produced by Bruce Kimmel's Kritzerland Records. Please welcome Michael. Give me his name so you pronounce it correctly.
Corey Fogelmanis.
There you go. I didn't remember. And I wanted to just throw the bone to him and make sure that he got it right.
It was that moment of panic that happened in your
head. That's why I just threw it to you. And I panicked you because you weren't ready.
How
you doing, Corey?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
This was the point of confusion because he's helping out. He's supporting. But I thought that there was, I didn't realize. That's why I was confused.
Yeah, no, I'm not in the show.
See, that's what threw me.
But let's start with your, you and Sammy go back for a long time. You've been friends since what, you're 7 years old? Or maybe even earlier?
I don't know, since we were like 8 or 9.
Probably. 8 or 9, 7.
Yeah,
or 8.
But we did a lot of like community theater together.
Right.
And we did
so for half your life. You've known her for half your life.
Yeah, we did a lot of theater together. And then we did a couple things like for television and film too. We did The Maiden and the Princess together.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did something for Showtime's House of Lies.
Mm-hmm.
We did that. No, but yeah, we've been friends for a really long time. So I was super excited to hear about all the success she's having.
Yeah.
Well, you having a passion yourself for theater, so that's kind of a natural thing. And tell us about what you I said in your intro that you had hoped one day to make your debut on Broadway.
Yeah.
So singing is something that's obviously essential, perhaps, if you're doing musicals, if that's what you're referring to.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, doing a play. But is that something that you foresee in the near future, or is it something that's just a dream at this point that you want to work on and try to make happen?
I think it's going to be soon.
Yeah?
After the show, we have at least, or we have at the most, 2 more years. But I want to move to New York, and I want to go to college out there.
Really?
And, yeah.
That's
soon,
fantastic.
Hopefully. Yeah.
Where would you go out there? Where would you go to college?
Right now, I'm looking at Tish.
Tish is excellent.
Look at
the SUNY schools too, though. Purchase and New Paltz; those are both excellent theater schools.
I went
to New Paltz, and a good number of my friends went to Purchase,
cool.
in addition to New Paltz. But they're great schools.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. And a little removed, if you don't want to live. I mean, obviously, to be going to Tisch and be right there in Greenwich Village is a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also nice these other ones to be a little more removed and not a little more rural environment, which is always nice.
Oh,
I'm from back there, so.
Is your perception, Corey, of going to school in New York kind of what we see on television, like in such TV shows as Fame?
No. I think it's going to be really difficult.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be easy, but I don't know. I'm really excited for it. I love New York.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Have you spent a lot of time there?
I haven't spent a lot of time, but I've been out there for like publicity for the show. And actually, every February, my mom and I go out to New York and we just see as many shows as we can fit into a weekend.
Yeah.
Oh,
no,
really?
Yeah.
Better than that. One of those theater immersion things.
Yeah.
Just try to see as many as possible.
Yeah.
Okay, here's something to remember and write this down. The next time you're near Tisch, look for him right on McDougal Street, Monty's Italian Restaurant. It's the best Italian food in Greenwich Village. And I'm telling you, just go in, tell him you know Paul, who did the show down the street, and Peter will take care of you very well.
Okay.
I lived there.
Peter will take care of you.
Peter will take care of you. He's a really nice guy, okay? It was a beautiful thing.
Great food, great food. So what is your favorite thing performance-wise? What is your favorite, like, obviously, you're on a TV show now, but is it this? Is the idea about Broadway and what's so appealing to it, the immediacy of theater, having the live audience right there, is that what appeals to you more?
It's definitely that. We do a live audience on the show, Girl Meets World, as well.
Right.
But I think part of it is just that every night was different. And
right.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just like that.
You know, a friend of mine once said the great thing about live theater is that everything that happens in that room is only going to happen once. Because it will never be the same. Because the audience, as Bruce mentioned earlier, especially in relationship to this show, the audience is a cast member. The audience is a dynamic in the evening. And that
definitely.
Audience changes and the whole evening changes. So that's why it's
really
my favorite
cool.
thing.
You know, I had dinner with a gentleman that you know well, Joel Zwick. Recently, and we talked about you, and he is very affectionate towards you.
Oh,
he had very nice things.
Joel
to say
is the
about
director
you.
of My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Joel Zwick?
Yes.
He's directed so much.
He's one of the great television directors. But that's what I remember. He was on the show.
He was on the show for the play that was out over there at the Matrix Theater.
The Cyrano spoof.
Yes,
Cyrano. Yes.
Yeah. But he really did have nice things to say about you. He was talking about your character and then the fact that it is going through a bit of a transition as you have grown, you know, older during the past 2 seasons.
Yeah.
And taking it in a slightly different direction.
Yeah.
And it sounds pretty cool, right? So are you happy with that transition?
It's fun. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You enjoying it as much now as you did when you first started?
Yeah. It's really fun.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Are you... affected at all by the fact that you, where your celebrity status is right now? Because anybody that's got almost a million followers on Instagram is obviously doing something right.
I've never really thought about it, actually. I don't know.
And you're not doing too bad on Twitter either, so, you know. That seems to be kind of a status symbol, you know, among celebrities is where they're at. But certainly it is an homage to you and the fans who like you.
Yeah, well, no, I think it's important, too, because I can reach more people and to support the right things. And
exactly.
Yeah.
That's nice that you think about it that way. It's nice that the first thing that comes to your mind is how you can positively affect people rather than, oh, how wonderful it is that all these people watch my show. It's very nice to hear.
Thank you.
And that's why you're one of the kids that Bruce probably likes, because you don't have a sense of, you don't seem to have a sense of entitlement that a lot of people of your generation, that I've noticed, a lot of people of that generation have that sort of sense of entitlement, and it's the taking, well, like my sister says, taking a long dip in Lake Me. You know, it's all about me. And you don't seem that way. You seem very grounded,
and your
parents should be very proud.
Speaking of kids and those that you work with, like Rowan Blanchard and Sabrina Carpenter and Peyton, how are they? They look to me to be as normal as you and like the kid next door. Is that the case?
Definitely. Everybody is super grounded. We all get along really well. They're great.
And they're also interested in music, obviously, right? And Sabrina doing pretty well in that
area. Yeah, Sabrina does her own music. Rowan loves theater.
Yes.
Have
you ever thought or talked with them about trying to do something together for yourselves?
I've never talked about that before, but I think that would be really cool.
In the theater?
Yeah.
Maybe that's Nigel Lithgow's the person to do that. You know, he kind of does these family shows at the very end of the year for the holiday season and pulls in.
That's cool.
Usually pulls in some Disney stars into those things, and they're based on fairy tales.
Family shows?
Oh,
what do you mean?
Family shows, pantos. Pantos. Yes.
The British panto.
Right.
Oh, those are great.
But he's big on, you know. Getting familiar faces in
They're still not real big here, and I don't know why, because it's this wonderful, like, almost interactive thing where you cheer the you cheer the hero and you boo the villain, and it's but they're usually holiday themed.
At the Pasadena Playhouse, they do quite well, actually.
Oh, really?
It's just once a year that he does it. His wife actually is the producer, and I think their son is the director.
If I'm not mistaken.
So maybe that's a possibility that'll come up, right?
Hopefully.
Yeah, and maybe some theater here in Los Angeles before you go to New York?
Yeah.
So you think New York is within the next couple of years?
Yeah.
What if you're still on the TV series?
Well, I mean, it's on Disney, so it can only go 4 years. They cut them off at 4 years.
Oh, I did not know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I'm a junior this year, so I'll be able to going to college in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So
perfect, perfect time.
I'm ready to try my luck in New York.
Now, is your mom on board with that?
I think so. I mean, I'm sure, yeah.
We hope
She's really supportive.
You'd get a lot of trips to New York, Mom. Is that it? She's in the studio with us today, very lovely lady. That's fantastic. So tell us, what is your most favorite Broadway show that you see yourself in?
Okay, I really, really want to do Pippin. Mm-hmm. I know they just did a revival of that, but I'd love to do it. It's so cool. Yeah. And also, I really want to do Newsies. Jack Kelly's
I can
great
see
role.
You in Newsies. Yeah.
Or anything in Phantom.
Yeah.
I love Phantom.
You just did. And you saw that recently.
Yeah,
when
I just saw
played
it.
This run. And that's when we saw each other when they did the benefit for the Actors Fund at the Elkwood Town Theater.
That was a lot of fun.
Bruce, if you had to cast Corey in a Broadway show, what would you cast him?
Well, let's see. The King and I?
Dream Girls.
I would give him Newsies right now.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Newsies are natural.
Yeah.
Very
great songs and that.
Corey, do you have anything that you can share with our listeners in terms of a website or Twitter or something that people who aren't already following you, if there are any of them left, will have the opportunity to follow
okay.
you?
Okay, yeah. Well,
share it.
I'm on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. It's all just Corey Fogelmanis, Corey Fogelmanis.
Okay.
Yeah.
Could you spell that again?
No. Backwards without vowels. Go.
Yeah.
Corey, tell us, we've got a couple of minutes before Sammy's going to arrive here, hopefully. You have an interest in photography as well.
Yes.
And how did that happen and why did that happen?
I'm not really sure. I know my mom did a lot of photography, and so we just kind of had cameras sitting around the house, and I think I just picked it up and just got super interested in it. And I don't know, I think it's really beautiful.
Is it of nature or is it of people or a combination?
I do a lot of landscapes and nature, and I like architecture as mm-hmm. well. I haven't really gotten to like the portrait side of it yet, mm-hmm. but I'd love to. It's really fun.
You're going to the right city for that too, because if you go to New York, you're just gonna every day.
Yeah,
that's a great thing about New York is just walking out your front door with no plan. Yeah. And just being able to take in all that stuff.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that.
So you could maybe parlay your interest in that and what you're photographing into a book, maybe?
Yeah.
Like a coffee table book?
That'd
or
cool.
have your own showing at a gallery here in Los Angeles?
You got this guy's whole career planned.
Yeah, I'm just planning on for it. Thank you.
No, it's a good idea. I'm writing notes down. I'm going to do this myself.
To be a young 16-year-old man that has all this very diversified talent, you know, he should put it to work.
And more importantly, though, the talent, but also the genuine passion that's discernible.
Yeah.
You really, you sound very like... You know, a lot of time, and I hate to make blanket statements about people that are your age, but I will. a lot of times you talk to people that your age, and they're kind of nebulous. So it's like, oh, I don't know. Maybe I'll do this. Maybe I do that. But you seem like you really know what you want. That's only going to serve you well in this business.
Thank you.
You know? I wish I knew what I wanted.
Yeah.
You know?
You do. You do well. Corey, when you first joined the cast of your television show, what was that transition like? Because I know you've done TV. Here's Miss Stateman has arrived in the studio we see. What was that transition like, though, for you? Because now you went into a routine where you're working every day for X amount of months.
Yeah, before that, I hadn't done anything really big. Mm-hmm. And so this was my first series regular role. So it was kind of tiring to get used to the week after week schedule, table read, rehearsal, shoot, table read, rehearsal, shoot. But I love it. It's really great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And what is a typical workday as far as hours is concerned? I'm sure there are labor laws at your
age. Yeah, there are. Well, our days vary. But what we'll do is we'll come in usually around 7 o'clock. We do 3 hours of school because we have to legally do 3 hours. Mm-hmm. And then we'll rehearse. And then we'll have lunch and we'll rehearse some more. And then we'll do a run-through. And we'll either do a run-through, depending on the day, for our writers and producers or, like, the Disney executives.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll get notes and everything, and then we'll do, like, the live audience and shooting the next day.
Nice. And did you say a table read starts everything off at the beginning of the week?
Yeah, we do a table read.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Do you like those table reads?
Yeah, they're fun.
Okay. Well... The level of beauty has raised the bar.
Yes, it has.
Just within the last 30 seconds.
Yes, it has. We have a recent guest, and why don't you give her the intro? She is so due, Michael.
I will, indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, our next guest has been performing on stage since she was 4 years old. She adores musical theater and has over 30 stage credits on stage. 30 stage credits, equally at home in front of the camera or in a recording studio, singing and recording voiceover. She has performed on stages all across the country, from Los Angeles to New York. She balances school with a professional acting and singing schedule, performing in cabarets around the country, and also taking part in musical theater productions, readings and workshops, TV and film, and voiceover. Also, she competes on the Comedy Sports LA High School team, which I want to ask you about that. As a part of her core curriculum, she takes American Sign Language as her foreign language requirement. And without further ado, please welcome the multi-talented superstar of the Welcome to My World brand-new musical, 16-year-old Sammy Stateman.
Sammy!
How are
ya?
You guys.
Oh, we are so happy you made it here.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us. I know you have a full dance card here, so finding the time for us, we appreciate it.
Thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely. Not at all. Just a few hours, you're going to be on the stage doing your first preview.
Yes.
In front of a live audience.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be exciting.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
But you've got it down. I mean, I went to a rehearsal two nights ago and you had it down.
Thank you.
Yeah, you did a remarkable job. And we've talked about the show, of course, with Bruce and and Corey and his interest and involvement. But how is this for you? Because Bruce was telling us that the evolvement of it, you know, coming through, you know, mentioning it to your family and that he'd written a monologue for you previously. And just how, from your perspective, did you ever think it was actually going to happen? Or
honestly, at first, I never really knew for sure which way it would go. I kind of always imagined the show happening, but I never knew if it was actually going to follow through or how it was going to come about. But mm-hmm. when it did, it was really exciting, and it's here, and it's amazing, and it's kind of mind-boggling that it is here. It's kind of surreal.
Yeah. It clips along, boy, at 85 minutes, and that's a great tribute to not only how Bruce has written it, but also for you to be able to handle that.
Yeah, thank you.
And the dialogue and the 14 musical numbers that you're doing in the show.
It was definitely a long process to memorize it all.
How long was that process?
It was about, well, from the workshop till now, we had months in between where I would work on it for extended periods of time and then break it down. Mm-hmm. But finally, you know, I got it down, which is hard.
Yeah.
It's fun. Yeah.
Have you, is there any part of the show that you had any particular trouble with memorizing?
There is one monologue, which we call the monster monologue. It starts at the very end of the show, and it's about a 3-page monologue, mm-hmm. and it kind of jumps around everything to every topic. So that one was definitely the hardest one to learn.
We have a lot of young people that listen to the show, Sammy, and I'm always curious because every actor has their different techniques and things. Do you have any sort of tricks for memorization that you went to that worked especially well for you, you know, in the process of preparing for this?
Yeah, I mean, I would break down each section and then try to think, like, how to connect each word and each sentence with emotion or with, you know, moving left or moving right, and that would help me on stage. You know, if I were to move stage left, then I would know, oh, now it's time for this section.
I know, I talk about a dog
right,
over
definitely.
Here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I know.
Well, you know, Paul shares a similar experience. He had a very, very successful one-man show for 4 years.
Nine years on the road, 1,400 performances.
Yeah, right. And he played, it was based on his family.
Yeah. Wow.
And he played every character.
That's all the different crazy. Ones.
Yeah. But it was that sort of like that same sort of memorization thing for me, where I referred to it as the quilt.
Mm-hmm.
And that each, I would like learn the section. And then the harder thing to remember later was what stitched one section of the quilt to the next one. Because you learn those little pockets.
Yeah.
And then you have those little, those tendrils, those things that tie it together.
Tendrils.
Tendrils. Do you like the way
I
use
like
them?
That
I'm a bright
word.
Guy. I just use tendrils in polite conversation.
And who does that?
I know. No
Nobody.
One does.
Yeah.
No one does.
That's awesome.
Did you find this to be distinctly different, the one person scenario, than working with other people? Because a lot of people don't. They just like that audience is just another character in the piece. But did you find it to be unnerving? Did you find it to be a little intimidating? How was as you approached it? How did you feel about it?
A little bit of both. Now that I'm doing it, I find myself being way more comfortable than I would have been going off stage and back on stage. Mm-hmm. I get more nervous each time I would exit and come back on, but being on stage straight for 85 minutes has helped me kind of calm my nerves and interact with the audience and kind of bring them into the show more than
right.
I think I had done before. But at the same time, you know, it's always nice to be able to go backstage and powder your face and get a sip of water. So.
You learn specific things when you do a one-person show.
Well, she's got some fast changes.
When you're on the
too.
Ice, though, yeah. Once you're out there, I mean, silly things. Like, I know what my shoe... Like, for me, I said, I know my shoes have to be tied perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's not going to be any... For me, there was no costume change
right.
or anything. You know, so just little things you wouldn't normally think
right.
about, you know?
But the costume changes you have, which are very fast, is that
yes.
kind of like... Are you, what do you, how is that backstage? I know you do it kind of
yeah,
privately.
Yeah, they're
but it's,
very quickly done, but.
Somebody helping you?
Yes, I have Greer Geisman backstage with us.
Thank you, Greer.
Yes, thank you. She's been like my savior throughout the show. She helped me memorize and is now doing my quick changes.
Right.
Yeah, they're very fast, which is really stressful at times, just because I want to make sure, you know, I get back on stage and be able to finish the show. Yeah. They've been challenging and a learning experience.
Yeah.
I have a favorite part, I think, during this show. She does a really cool... I can't say too much about it because I don't want to give it away. But it's something that every one of us learned in school when we were in elementary school. Okay. We had to do this in science and so forth. it has to do with an animal. It's part of learning a life.
Okay.
Does that...
That just confused me to no end. I guess it's you're just piquing interest.
Yeah,
I was thinking the periodic table of elements.
You're talking about
dissection? Is that what you're
saying? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, but it's very beautifully staged and lit and kind of scary. And it's a great fun moment in the show because it gets a little more involved. The audience gets involved in it a little bit. So,
Is it interactive at any point? Is there any sort of direct? I mean, I know it's direct address to the audience, but do they get involved?
Yeah, they do multiple times throughout the show, which I find really fun. It's kind of like they're my co-star throughout this whole thing,
right.
Which has really helped me get through it, because when they give me energy, then I give them energy, and it's just back and forth.
I used to think about, not that I'm any great authority on it, but one of the things that I used to always do when I was feeling nervous about it, because I used to suffer from, one of the reasons I wrote a one-person show was because I out of nowhere just started suffering from uncontrollable stage fright. I turned 35 years old and everything was fine, and I turned 35 and then all of a sudden panic stage fright. So I don't know where it came from. So I wrote the one person show as a means to combat that. But the thing that I always think about now is when I perform by myself is it's just a party that I'm hosting. So it takes so much of the pressure off yourself, because it's like, no, I'm not entertaining these people. I'm hosting a party. They're invited. We're all in this together. We're all doing the same thing. And it sounds to me like you have that mindset, too, where they're your scene partners.
Mm-hmm, they are.
Yeah.
And you're enjoying being your young age and to be that comfortable, you know, in your skin and on stage in that character. Is quite a talent. So,
thank you.
Let's talk about your relationship with Corey and his support of you in this show, which I think is awesome that you are doing. And Corey is making a special appearance on Sunday at the theater to greet some fans that he enlisted their support as well to support you. Which is amazing, Corey. Mm-hmm. So you're going to spend some time with them and on a one-on-one basis. That's kind of their reward. Is that it?
Well, I think seeing the show is a reward enough.
Yeah?
Because it's so good. But, I'll be meeting some people and then seeing the show afterwards.
Yeah.
Now,
are you seeing it on Sunday? Or
I'm seeing it on Sunday, yeah.
On Sunday as well. Perfect. It's a nice matinee end of the week show. Let's hope it won't be quite so hot, but if it is, the inside of that theater is super cool.
I know, it is. And the theater that we are talking about, you like the way I work this segue
in?
I'm so good.
I do.
The Grove Theater Center in Burbank, that's where this is taking place. 1111B West Olive Avenue in Burbank, California. Ample free parking. You want tickets? Call 323-960-7787. Or you can check out online plays411.com/world. This limited engagement begins on September 10th. Fridays and Saturdays at 8 and Sundays at 2. And the news is it's already extended.
Yeah.
So
extended.
Check that out. And once again...
Shall we say the extension date? Bruce Kimmel?
What is it? It's the week after the 27th.
So a week after the 27th.
Yes.
So that would be...
None of us have our calendars accessible because we all had to turn our cell phones off.
That's right.
So we don't have them at the ready. It doesn't matter. People can figure it out. Go to Place 411. Look at it there. You'll see the whole thing.
All right, and don't forget.
Sitting here with the vast audience of the show.
Yes.
And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, there will be a CD that comes out of this show that will feature all of the music that Bruce Kimmel has written for the show, recorded by Sammy Stateman with a special bonus track by Corey. And, Corey, it is a song that actually Sammy sings in the show, and then you're kind of doing the same song, but putting your own spin on it.
Yes, I am. I'm excited about it.
Yeah? And all this starts on Tuesday?
Yes. Recording starts Tuesday. It's very exciting.
Fantastic.
A lot of plate spinning. We should also give a shout-out to Cheryl Baxter-Ratliff, who's a wonderful choreographer and who I had the pleasure of working with on Mary Poppins, and we just love her, and she did the choreography for Dancing with Me.
Isn't great? Yeah. And just back to the CD, one second. Bruce, it'll be available at all the usual places. Critchland Records, of course.
And Amazon.
CD Baby and iTunes.
And
all the outlets.
There you go. But go and see the show first, because it's going to make you enjoy that CD so much better.
So much more.
Yeah.
Oh, we're at that time.
Okay. We
have to
baptize
time,
you
which
now.
Sammy does not know about, so
yeah,
we'll have
you
to start.
Do not.
We'll have to start with Corey and have him tell his tale. This is at the end of the show. We like to ask our performers to share a theatrical tale of woe, something that went wrong on stage, something embarrassing, not necessarily this production that you're working on now, but from your long and storied career. Corey, you got a story to tell us?
Yeah, I don't really have any onstage mishaps, surprisingly. I don't know, but yesterday, I have something from yesterday, which was just really kind of embarrassing. We were shooting an episode for Girl Meets World, and in the scene, I had to do like a Jerry Lewis, like, laugh thingy, or like the weird noise that he makes.
Can you do that for us?
I can't.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay.
No,
waiting,
yeah, like it was that? Just that sort of thing, and I had to do it, and I just like couldn't get it, and it was just like super embarrassing, and I'm sure it's going to be like really funny, but yeah, it was just really embarrassing.
What?
Yeah.
Did you get even remotely close, or like what did they give you as
I
an example?
It was like the like haha, like I don't
like
know,
like before with the thing.
It's not that, but it's like the weird. I don't even know. Actually, I don't know. I did it, but I don't know. Yeah.
Well, he's gonna have a nightmare tonight.
I am. Everyone's gonna have a nightmare when they're
I wish I had a Jerry Lewis soundbite to share, but I don't.
Really? Well, you did it. You did a good impression.
Yes.
On
well,
Hey Lady.
You know, I need to get
and
one.
Sammy, what about you?
Yes. Well, I've had quite a few throughout the years. I think one of my most memorable was when I was doing Annie in Utah at Pioneer Theater.
That's a show you got your equity card.
Yes,
on,
that
right?
was. That yeah. was an amazing experience. But we were in Utah, and I was, I think, about to do Tomorrow or some, you know, some of her big songs. And I was off stage getting ready, and all of a sudden I got really, really sick. And it threw up, like, all over the backstage, and I threw up, like, on costumes. It was such a mess.
Like, completely out of nowhere?
Yeah. I guess I just got really sick, and I threw up, and it was definitely not a fun experience. So I ran right on stage and had to belt out Tomorrow.
Holy cow.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, but that one was quite a mishap.
And then it was over? Just like then you finished the show and it didn't come back to haunt you?
Yeah, it was just like a weird spur of the moment throw up.
Did you even feel it like coming on?
No, I was just off stage. Off stage and it just happened.
Wow, man.
Yes.
I wouldn't
that's
know what
my,
to do.
That's my nightmare. That's my big. That's like the actor's nightmare.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like.
Talk about being a trooper.
Yeah, exactly.
Going back on, right?
But I think in something like that, I'm sure adrenaline just outweighs everything.
Was it hard to sing after that?
It was a little.
Especially that song.
Yeah, a little acid-y at first. Then it got better.
How do you
as it
think,
went.
Michael, was it difficult to sing?
Well, no,
after
I mean,
you throw up, it's difficult to do anything.
Well, I know that, but I mean, she has to, you know, go out and do it. I mean, you know, there's a degree of difficulty. It could have been really hard or kind of hard or, you know, just a little hard.
Right.
We have to talk about something else so we don't end the show on talking about vomit.
Yes,
so
no.
share a you said you had a couple. You got one more you could share?
One more.
This also happened in Annie, believe it or not. I was off stage getting ready for the quick change to go up and do like her final entrance at the end of the show. And I was backstage, you know, changing the wig and changing the shoes and changing the dress. And the dress ripped. The whole back of the dress, like the zipper ripped. And then the locket, like, got caught in the zipper. And everything was just falling apart. And I had, like, 2 seconds till I had to go on stage. And we just, like, threw the wig on my head. And we ended up getting, like, safety pins in the back. So it was fine. And I wore a coat over it. So it didn't look too bad on stage, but that was definitely
one
scary.
Of those ones you can't fix in a moment or two.
Yeah.
Well, we're out of time, but which is good because Michael has a story that we can't share. But,
not with these two guys.
But with the wardrobe malfunction.
Yes,
we're lucky that we're out of time on this
exactly,
one.
Exactly.
What a pleasure having both of you on, as well as Bruce Kimmel. And this is very, very exciting. Sammy, do you have a website or Twitter or something you can share with our listeners?
Yes, I have all of the above. Twitter and Instagram or just my name, Sammy Statement. Mm-hmm. And then the other one was, what was it again?
Website.
Oh, website. Yeah. Website. It's just at www.sammystatement.com.
Cool. And Corey, would you share yours again for our listeners?
Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, Corey Fogelmanis. CoreyFoglmanis.
MOUSC.
Wonderful.
There you go.
What a pleasure. Thank you both.
Indeed. Great success to all three of you guys on Saturday. I know it's going to be a big hit. So.
Yes, all because of Bruce.
All because of Bruce.
Yes.
And you.
Thank you.
And Corey.
Oh, it all to him.
Yeah.
It all happening. Michael,
thank you, Paul.
As well.
Always a pleasure.
See you next week.
On the radio.
Listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohle, right here on LA Talk Radio.